This week's interview is with Marcus Ulrich of Landfair. And my first question for you, Marcus, is what is Landfair doing? What do you guys have going on? And tell everybody what the band is currently doing at this moment.
Okay, we released the last album in 2008, so it has been a hell of a long time. But our singer had some serious health issues, and then we had to stop working on a new album. Then we recorded a new album, started already in 2010, and finished the album almost exactly 1 year ago, and it took also some months to get a new deal. And so at the moment, we're waiting for the release for the new album. We prepared a release show here in southern Germany. And the new album will be out on 24th of February. And then, yeah, we rehearsed for some gigs. And we also played the Block Power in Atlanta this year, which is very, very nice. We're pretty happy. So, yeah, the usual stuff, you know that. New album, promoting, play some gigs, write new songs, new album.
So I have to ask you then, I was checking out the Landfair website, and I noticed one of the quotes that you have on there is that Landfair plays 100% underrated metal exclusively. And I thought that was an interesting quote because you don't see a lot of bands put a quote like that on their website. And I have to tell you that I would agree with the statement. You guys put out some really, really good stuff, and it doesn't seem like you guys have had a lot of recognition. To me, I was really amazed at the fact that this band has not received more recognition than they have. And my question for you, Marcus, is this. You know, Exit of Power of 10 was a great record. The new one, I think, is really good. And I heard the one right before Exit of Power of 10, and I can't remember what the name of the album was, but it was the Another Golden Rage. And I have to ask you, what's the response been like to this new record that is coming out?
The thing is that we always receive great reviews, but as you know, you can buy anything for good reviews. Maybe we were a bit underrepresented, but it's also kind of our fault because we didn't do as many gigs as would be possible. The Artifact and Another Golden Rage are third and fourth album. They have been released in the States, and we also got some great reviews. It was released on Nightmare Records, nothing big, but we had really large and good responses. The problem was that our last album, Exit the Power of 10, was released on Locomotive Records, and we signed to Locomotive because they told us they had a good distribution also in the States with Century Media, and the same distribution as Century Media, which had some pretty big bands. But they simply lied. And at the moment, or in the time when the album actually was released, there wasn't any distribution. So I'm not exactly sure, but I think it was never released in the States. So we had no reviews, no response to the last album, so it simply didn't happen, which was quite sad. I hope it gets better now that we play Block Power, that Pure Steel have a distribution, a small but a distribution in the States. So I hope we can, achieve better results or even results.
Well, the internet is pretty powerful in the fact that, you know, myself and many other people I know now, they don't buy anything in stores. They buy it over the net. And Marcus, I have to ask you, this new album, Disharmonic Consonants, you know, I'd like to maybe have you go and why don't you talk to the fans about what this album is about? What are some of the concepts behind some of the songs, and what is the significance? What is the significance of the title of this album? And just go into detail about, you know, what you guys wrote this album about. That's going to be coming out here in February.
Yeah, it's not really a concept album. The funny thing is that one song is called Disharmonic Consonants, which is a kind of chemical, I don't know, health thingy our singer wrote about. He's a pretty freaky guy. And the title is Disharmonic Consonants, which is quite a little word game, if you want. So when you talk to people in Germany, most of the people are not able to pronounce a TH. Yeah, in Germany, TH, as in this, does actually doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So when a German guy comes and he would say disharmonic or disharmonic, he maybe wouldn't recognize a difference. So we thought it would be funny to name the song Disharmonic and the album Disharmonic, which is, a little wordplay. The album itself is no concept. We always have some darker themes. It's no fantasy type of stuff. It's song titles are more or less, we have songs like The Reverend, which is about some German priests. There was a special case in 2010 with some priests having fun with some little boys, and this was a very big deal here in Germany. Mm-hmm. So this is a song against church. Not that we're Satanists or something like that, but this was something which was important for us. A theme where the priest is singing. We have other songs which I already told you our singer was pretty ill. He had really some serious health issues, and he was, I would say, right before cancer. That's also the longest title on the album, which deals about these issues, and it's very hard to read the lyrics and know what he had to come up with. So it was a pretty hard time for him. Lyrics are pretty dark, pretty sad sometimes. If you would talk to him, he'd maybe say it has to be sad. It has to be sad. But he's doing good right at the moment, so I hope that he is really, really not, he has not the problems, that it all begins new. To the music, music is, as all bands would say, a bit more heavy than the last album. I know every band says this is the heaviest album until now, blah, blah, blah. But in this case, it's right. So it is quite heavy. The production is more metal. The thing is that I also built a little home studio, and so I had much more time to do the arrangements. I recorded all guitars, and we recorded bass in my home studio. So it has a brighter and more heavy sound, but it doesn't sound too blastic, as most of the new productions have this kind of trigger drumming, where you always say, I don't know if it's a computer played all the stuff or people played the stuff. So it's quite heavy and organic. Some very fast songs, a little ballad, and we also wrote a doom song, a really doom metal song, which is maybe not very typical for a prog power metal band like us. So I think it's a quite diverse album with something for everybody. I hope so.
Now, Marcus, I noticed that you have a wide array of influences and a lot of diversity in this music, and it didn't surprise me when I went and read your bio that you like so many different bands, from like Meshuggah and Watchtower and Dream Theater to like different stuff like Miles Davis and just people across different genres is stuff that you like. And, you know, having these influences that you have and having all these different types of bands and music genres that you listen to, has this played a big effect? Has this had a big effect on you as a songwriter and as a musician? And did it translate into the music for this band?
In a way, I think the problem is most of the musicians, as you also know a lot of musicians, most of the musicians have the problem that they make sometimes very underground metal or underground stuff, but most of the musicians don't know anything, so that's maybe a problem. If you listen to, I don't know, Priest, Metallica, Maiden, then there's no question that you hear those influences. And when you're into prog metal, they listen to Symphony X and they listen to Dream Theater. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm right when I say 80% of the bands in the prog metal sounds like a mixture between Symphony X and Dream Theater. Most of those guys are not that good, but that's exactly the thing where I ask myself, prog metal, progression doesn't mean complex. Progression means it's a step into the future. But I don't get what's progressive when you copy other bands. So I myself think the more music you listen to, I don't know if it's pop or metal or jazz or funk, but the more you listen to, the more influences you have, and the more unique your own sound is in the end. So I myself, I'm a music junkie, so that's definitely not normal, but I got into metal when I was 12 or 13 years old. I'm a fanatic CD collector. I have about 5,000 CDs here in my room.
You and I have a lot. You and I have a lot in common.
So, okay, maybe this is not. It's more than just music for me. So I'm really into everything which is coming out. I know almost every band which is on the scene. It's important for me to listen to different bands, not always the same. And I think the more you listen to, the more diverse is your own music. I hope in our stuff you can hear that, because everybody in Landfill listens to a lot of stuff. I mean, our bass player is very, very traditional. He's also the bass player in Sacred Steel, if you know them. Very mm-hmm. true German metal. And our keyboarder is more in the modern vein, more the Symphony X style, and our drummer, which I know since we've been 2 or 3 years old, he also listens to everything from Toxic, Watchtower, to more modern stuff, but also to good pop music, Tori Amos or Lorena Lecanid and all those stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really important to listen to almost everything I find interesting. Jazz is another type of thing. When I was maybe 20, 22 years old, and somebody told me, listen to jazz music. I said, what, boring, I don't know. But the older you get, you recognize what or how you have to listen to this kind of music. And then it's a whole new world, and it also could be an influence. I don't think that you hear jazz influences in our music, but it's more the way you think about music. So that's very important for me.
Well, it's cool the way it works, because, you know, you're talking about you yourself and your drummer. You know, you guys are the two guys in the band that listen to everything. And then, of course, you got your bass player, who's more like the true metal type fan, who, you know, probably listens to Manowar and bands like that, Iron Maiden and stuff like that. So he's more like, you know, the true metal guy. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of cool the way it works.
Yeah, he's more the true, very true, yeah, maybe Manowar, he plays in Sacred Steel, so he is very true. He's maybe in this traditional underground stuff, or bands like Omen or Agent Steel, or he also listens to a lot of thrash metal bands, some old school death metal. And I also know him since we were 8 or 10 years old, so this is quite funny. Our singer is more in the band like, I don't know, Porcupine Tree, Fate's Warning. But everybody in Landfill knows what it's all about. So I don't think it's possible for me to play in a band with, I don't know, a musician who listens to Metallica and Iron Maiden, and that's it. So it's not interesting enough to me.
Well, it's interesting because you and I are a lot alike. You and I are just know so much about so many different bands, and you guys remind me of a band of just casual music fans that really like to make music, and it just, to me, I think it's great, and I think we're a lot alike in that respect, you know what I'm saying, as far as, you know, being a huge music fan, making really good music.
Yeah, that's important. There are a lot of bands that they say, well, we're so small, nobody buys our albums, and I always ask them, do you buy albums? And then they say, oh, maybe 2 or 3 a year, so don't expect other to buy your album.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I am more, I hate to download stuff, unless it's like radio promos and I'm getting it well before the release date so I can play it to people. But I'm all about the CD. I'm all about the physical product myself, you know, and that's just the way I go as far as being a music fan is concerned.
I never bought a download, and I never will. So the only thing to listen to music is vinyl or CD. I have lots of CDs. I don't listen to any downloads. And if somebody handles me a download, I don't listen to it. If I'm interested, I'm waiting until the album is out, and then I buy it. I have all my CD collection, as MP3 when I'm on the way on the iPod or something like that. But when I'm at home, I don't listen to music over my computer. It's always my stereo CD in the player, and that's it. I need a booklet. I need a cover. I want to read the thank list, the lyrics. You also have to say I'm German, so it's not the case that I'm a native speaker. It's always a bit more difficult. I don't understand all the lyrics when I listen to them. It's also sometimes a bit difficult to talk in English because we're simply not used to talking English here. And I did my last interview 3 years ago, so it's a bit rusty. But it's even more important for me to read all the lyrics because you don't understand everything. I mean, the thing is, maybe if you talk English, you also don't understand anything when you listen to Cannibal Corpse. But but for the German guy, it's even more difficult. So I want my booklet. I want my lyrics. That's what I need. I don't need downloads.
I am the same exact way that you are when it comes to that.
Nice. I mean, let's have a beer.
And your English actually isn't really all really that bad. So I would say that it's pretty good. And you know, I think your English is pretty good. I interview bands from Europe all the time, and your English is pretty concise and clear, and I understand you perfectly.
The problem is that when you're maybe from Scandinavia, they watch all their movies in English. Germany is a much bigger country, so you watch all your movies in German. You watch a Hollywood movie and it's dubbed. You watch it in German. So you're definitely not used. You learn English in school. I learned English for, 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you tend to forget everything. And I understand almost everything, but sometimes you have to search for a single word. You heard the word 2,000 times, but you can't find it right at the moment. You have to use it, so that's always the problem. And people in Scandinavia have it more easy because they grow up with English. And we here in Germany are, don't know how to say, maybe a kind of spoiled. Because we get everything in German here, no? That's the problem.
Well, it's obvious by talking to you, you and I have listened to quite a few different bands over the years, and we like bands that are not only currently touring and putting out albums, but we also, I'm sure, like bands that haven't put an album out in a long time or that broke up. And Marcus, so I have a couple questions for you as far as bands go. You know, this one I'll ask you is this. If you could pick one band, alive or dead, to bring back, to reform, to start playing shows and putting out an album again, who would it be, and why would you pick them?
So you really ask me for the best band in the world. You would never believe it, but it's ABBA.
Really? Well, you know the guys. You know the guys at Halloween like ABBA. Did you know that they did a cover of one of their songs?
Yeah.
I think it was. Oh my God, I can't remember what it is. I can't remember.
ABBA is the perfect pop music. It's really my favorite band. But if I would really name a band that I can say which was more rock, in a rock style, my favorite band would be, I can't name a favorite band, but if I had to, it would be Rush, maybe.
They're still around.
Rush is, yeah. Yeah, I know they're still around, but I don't know how long.
Yeah.
So, if I had to name a favorite band, but it's impossible for me. I mean, I also like lots of 70s prog. I'm pretty much into King Crimson, Genesis, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Kansas. So there are so many great bands, or were so many great bands. Led Zeppelin, I don't know, Pink Floyd. A never-ending story.
Yeah, the song that I was thinking of now that Helloween covered off of that Metal Jukebox album by ABBA was Lay All Your Love on Me. Now it comes back to me. So, but anyway, so we talked a little bit about some of your diverse influences. And to me, when I listen to Landfare, I can't help but think, you know, this is a very unique band. None of these albums get stale. Every album is so much so different. Even all the songs themselves are different in their own way. And none of them get stale. And with all the influences and all the different types of music that you listen to and that the other guys in the band listen to, does this translate into the songwriting? You know, we kind of talked a little bit about this before, but do all these influences really translate into the songwriting for this band and really keep things fresh and diverse for you guys as musicians and, of course, for the fans?
Yeah, I think so. And it's also a thing that... it's a fact that I know most of the productions. I mean, there are not many metal bands I don't know. So you always know that is a certain standard in 2008, 9, 10, 11. So you have to compete with it. And I think it's important that you always know what do other bands do right at the moment, or how do they sound, what do they want to achieve. So because I'm also in the production thing, it's really helpful if you listen to lots of bands. I know that many musicians say, at the moment when I write new songs, I don't listen to anything because I don't want to get influenced by anything. And I say, I listen to 1,000 bands. So I'm definitely not influenced by one band. Listen to more instead of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, this works for me. I don't know how it works for other people. So yeah, there's definitely no recipe.
Well, I have to tell you, again, as a musician myself, I am the exact same way you are when it comes to that.
That's nice. So come over and let's found a new band.
And it's funny too, because I'm the same way you are, man. You know, I mean, why limit yourself? And I will argue that heavy metal itself, even if I tell you I only listen to metal bands, I will argue that heavy metal itself is the most diverse musical genre out there, because people add so many different elements out there. You got classic metal, you got symphonic metal, you got people that add like folk music into a heavy metal bands, and even rap. I'm not a big fan of that, but even that type of stuff. And you have so many different types of metal bands out there, so many subgenres, and I'm like you, I agree, man. You know, just it's great that let everything influence your music.
Yeah, and it's also I would say a season thing, because when there's summer, there's nothing better than a good 80s hard rock song or AOR stuff, like I don't know, Journey or something like that. And I find it a bit strange when people always listen to just thrash or death metal. I really don't get it. For me, it's also a thing of the atmosphere, of the, a lot of personal stuff. So I can't say, oh, I'm always aggressive, so I just listen to death metal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything else, or I'm so evil, I just listen to black metal. I don't nothing. I don't know any other bands out of any genre. Oh, there's a singer who can sing. Wow, that's bad. it sounds gay. I don't understand these people, because this has nothing to do with music. Music is freedom,
mm-hmm.
and not putting yourself in a cage. But I don't know. Maybe it's better when you get older, so you're more open-minded. When I was 18, I also say, well, Nirvana, Grunt, hey, they destroyed my music. Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, they killed metal, and so, and okay, some years after that, I bought a Soundgarden album and thought, well, it's quite good. But I was young, and it was a revolution for me. I was metal, yeah, and now I'm an old fart, and I'm just a music fan, and that's it.
Well, I have to tell you, Marcus, that there's no lying in you guys. There's no imagery. There's no fakeness. I mean, you guys are a real group of guys that make real music, and that's it. You're not into imagery. You're not into makeup. You're not into all this crazy stuff that a lot of these bands out there will do these days. And the one thing I found it was great on your website, on your band's website, and if nobody's gone to the site, it's lanfear.eu, lanfear.eu. But check out the band bio. It's a very, very short bio. And what it basically says is this: no breakdowns, no kilts, no horns, no makeup, no swords, no rock stardom, no support by mass media, no hot air. It's all about the music that matters. And Lanfear play 100% underrated metal exclusively. And when I read that, it really puts into perspective your attitude towards things and just how the band is, because I gotta tell you, man, this philosophy is great. Most bands don't even have a philosophy. They put these big drawn-out bios and have these costumes on and all this crazy stuff. You guys, there's no imagery with you guys. You guys just make straight music, and you leave it as it is, like that.
Yeah, so that's a problem, man. But the interesting thing is when you find people who think exactly the same, that's also always a great happening, because they say, yeah, you think the same way, let's have a beer, that's cool. Yeah. So maybe you have to come to Germany to join our band.
Well, I have to ask you about your previous release, X to the Power of 10, which I think is a great, great record. And talk a bit about this, Marcus. Talk a bit about the themes behind the songs and talk about the making of this album. And many people out there who don't know who you are, obviously you guys have about 5 or 6 albums out right now, but talk a bit about X to the Power of 10, which is the predecessor to the upcoming album, Disharmonic Consonants, and talk a bit about what the concepts and stuff are behind X to the Power of 10.
Yeah, it's not really a concept album. You can say it's incoherent concept. Because the main thing is greed on the album. Many songs deal with greed in all its forms, but it's not that far that I would say it's a concept album. I also have to say that it was our first album with our, at that time, new singer Nuno. So it was a kind, it was a step back and a step forward, because the album before, we had Toby, our singer. He sang very high pitched, more in the Queensryche or Lidl or whatever style. He had a very high voice, and so we played lots of fast songs with all those high pitched screams. And then Nuno came in the band, and we didn't search for somebody who sounds exactly the same or similar. We really wanted Nuno. We already knew him because we knew that he was more the emotional singer, and then that he was also pretty much into all styles of metal, of music, and we loved his vocal melodies in his previous band. They only recorded a demo, and we knew that he would fit perfectly to us, and so X to the Power of 10 for me was a step which was very important, because we wanted to bring back all those catchy melodies. I'm really pretty much into refrains, choruses. I think the most important thing on the CD isn't my guitar solo, no. Definitely not. The most important thing is a good melody. A memorable melody, but it has to be catchy, but not a catch-22 or something like that. So what is most important to me is a vocal melody that fits, a variable vocal melody, different vocal melodies, and Nuno was the perfect man. So X to the Power of 10 was our vocal album, where I really put lots of details in the arrangements, and we had room for better melodies. And so it was a kind of step back to the more progressive side. It wasn't as aggressive as the album before. And it was really, at that moment, the best album we could do. And until now, I'm pretty satisfied, not with the production, so I think it could sound a bit heavier. But I'm really satisfied with the album, and so the standard was this album, and I didn't want to say we have to top every album, because every band tops every album every time, you know. So how terrible has to sound your debut album if you always write a better album after that? Mm-hmm. And the debut album also is good, of course, yeah? And how is it if you release 20 albums and each album is better than the last one? No, each album is another album, and some people like the third album, and somebody also likes only the debut, and a band has to be convinced of a new material, but that doesn't make the last album worse. So that's what I miss in most of the bands. So X to the Power of 10 was, at this moment, the album we wanted to do, and it's also the album I'm still very proud of. And yeah, I would say we had some production issues, so some parts that are very important are not that recognizable, but as somebody who listens to that the first time or doesn't know my original ideas, of course, doesn't know that. So the album is as it is, and I'm still very proud of it.
Well, Marcus, as I do for everybody that I have on the show, and every band that comes on the show, I have to ask you one last question, Marcus, and that's basically this. Do you have any last words to say to all the metal fans out there listening to the show tonight?
Yeah, doesn't matter if Lance your friends or not. It doesn't even matter if they like our music or not, but the thing is, thanks. It would be nice if you'd give us a chance, but what comes first is be true to yourself. That's it.